pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the dispensation of the tribulation, we're now looking at the seventh trumpet judgment that we find in the book of Revelation. We see under this judgment comes the vials, and these are judgments in themselves. In Revelation chapter 16 and verse 2, we see the first vial, and we see there that a terrible judgment falls upon men who have the mark of the beast. And I remind you once again that those who receive the mark of the beast during the tribulation will not be saved. And then we see the second vial in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 3. The sea becomes as blood, and I believe this is literally, it becomes blood as of a dead man. Every living soul in the sea dies. And then the third vial, judgment, Revelation chapter 16 verses 4 through 7. And we see in those verses physical affliction, and it seems to stem from spiritual apostasy. Now then, God's judgments are absolutely correct, true, and righteous, according to verse 7 of Revelation 16. And then we come to the last four vials that's mentioned in the book of Revelation here. The fourth vial is found in Revelation 16, verses 8 and 9. And we see here that the fourth vial relates only to the sun. The sun's heat increases with great intense heat, and men are scorched. They're seared, in other words, like a piece of bacon, but they're seared, burned by the fire of the sun, intense heat. Well, the men and women who survive this judgment recognize that the judgment on the entire earth comes from God, but they still refuse to repent. And the saints of God would not blaspheme God. So the implication of verse 9 is that saints in this period who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will not suffer from this plague. The heat will not bother them. And then we see the fifth vial, Revelation chapter 16, verses 10 through 11. The seat, or the place where the beast rules from, the seat of the beast, more than likely, it actually means the city or region of the beast. And the ninth plague of Egypt, the darkness, and we see this in the fifth vial. There's darkness, pain, and torment. Well, in Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 16, we pick our study up here with the sixth vial. And it says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come up out of the mouths of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Well, I believe this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. The war will take place, and it's called Armageddon. And we're going to read more about that later on. But in those verses that I just read, Revelation 16, 12 through 16, we see that the great river Euphrates is dried up. And this is preparing the way for an invasion from the east, according to those scriptures I read. And then we also see that the river Euphrates is the prophesied eastern boundary of the land which God promised to the seed of Abraham. We read about this in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, where it says, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." And then we read in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24, "Every place whereupon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be." And Joshua chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sea, or the sun, shall be yours, or be your coast." Now, the great river Euphrates also forms the eastern boundary of the ancient Roman Empire. All of this ties together. And I see that the purpose of the drying up of the Euphrates is indicated as a preparation for the way of the kings of the east. Now, the passage that we've read is best understood as referring to the kings of the east and literally of the sun rising. And I believe this is referring to the Oriental rulers who will descend upon the Middle East. Now, the reasons seem to be, as we see this, the prediction in other than its literal meaning. In other words, we must take this literally. Some people try to say that these things that we just read about the river Euphrates is just an example. It's not really going to happen, but it is going to happen. It's a prediction. Countries in the Orient, such as Japan, China, India, as well as lesser nations, they make such an invasion a reasonable prediction. Millions of people. In John's vision, Revelation 16, verses 15 and 16, he sees three unclean spirits, like frogs in appearance, coming up out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, the source of these unclean spirits is the world ruler, is specified as the beast, his associate, the beast, who is the false prophet, and the dragon himself, which is Satan. Now, there's no need for speculation as to the identity of the three unclean spirits. Now, these three frogs are specified in verse 14 as spirits of demons, and it should be interpreted as so, not just spiritualized away. Now, these wicked spirits are declared to work miracles. And the false prophet, according to Revelation 13, chapter 13, verses 12 through 15, we read about this, and these unclean spirits, the wicked spirits, are commissioned to gather the kings of the entire earth to the battle described as the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Well, combined efforts by the armies of the world against Christ and his army. You see, that's what they're coming against. They're coming against Christ. Can you imagine that, coming against God? Jesus is God. He is the Creator. And here's an ungodly army coming against him. Well, this combined effort of the armies of the world against Christ and his army from heaven will evidently take place when the glory of the second coming appears in heaven. They'll see him coming. The military might of the world of that day will be engaged in fighting on the very day that Christ returns. And it's not going to be the final challenge to divine sovereignty. The scriptures tell us that Christ's authority will once again be challenged at the second battle of Gog and Magog. And that's going to take place at the end of the millennium. And we're going to study that later on. Well, we see in verse 15, as we think about the verse that I've just read here in Revelation 16, 12 through 16, we see here in, once again in verse 15, he says, "Behold, I come as a thief." And this is an expression used for a sudden, unexpected arrival. which will result in judgment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now there's a contrast between the unprepared, and that's the unsaved, who are overtaken by the Lord at His coming, and those who are prepared by faith in Christ, which is expressed in Revelation 16:15, where it says, "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." That's for the saved people are walking right. They're doing what is right. And as a result of combined enticement of demons seen in Revelation chapter 16:12-14, and the actions of the sixth vial, the armies of the whole earth are gathered in the Middle East in a place described as Armageddon. Well, there's been considerable discussion concerning the meaning of the term Armageddon, taken by some to mean Mount of Slaughter. Well, geographically, it relates to the Mount of Megiddo, located adjacent to the plain of Megiddo to the west and the large plain of Esdraelon to the northeast. Megiddo is the Hebrew word corresponding to the Greek word Armageddon. Now, notice with me, if you would, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 20. It says there, "And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Well, this area was in the past the scene of many of the great battles of the Old Testament, such as that of Barak and the Canaanites in Judges chapter 4, and the victory of Gideon over the Midianites in Judges chapter 7. And Josiah and Saul's deaths also occurred here. And Scripture indicates that this area is the central point for the military conflict of Armageddon. The battle, and I put a question mark there because it's not going to be much of a battle, because they're coming against God. They're coming against our Lord. Now, this battle will take place over a 200-mile area. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 20, once again it says, "Unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Well, let me remind you that a furlong is approximately 660 feet. 1,600 furlongs equals 1,056,000 feet, 200 miles. It is 215 miles if you go from Ocala, Florida to Fort Myers. That's 215 miles. That is a great space. I don't have to tell you that, because it is a great space where this battle is going to take place. And once again, Revelation 14:20 says, "Unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, blood will flow." Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, we read those verses, and I'll read those next time in the complete thought that we have concerning this. Zechariah 14, it said, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." That's verse 1 of Zechariah chapter 14. Tribulation and Armageddon. Well, I trust that you do know Christ as your Savior, and you're on your way to heaven. And if you are not saved, you need to get saved now. We're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says that your life is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It makes no difference how long you live. It's just like a vapor. You're gone. But sad, if you're not saved, you'll be going to hell. And if the tribulation would take place now, you would go into the tribulation without the Lord, suffering great torment.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord.
May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.